Dr. Pinsky dictating email. I am Ian Nathan, N-A-T-H-A-N, Taylor, T-A-Y-L-O-R. As you know, I previously evaluated Mr. Taylor as described in the reports listed above, per those pertain to prior alleged injuries. Apparently, he is now a 61-year-old male. Reports he was injured again on 10-122. Apparently, he was assaulted by a patient while working on EMS duty. Apparently, he describes that he was tossed around and injured his back, comma, knees, comma, head, comma, paresthesias, and scratch that head and neck, period. He had further evaluation leading to what he understands to be final diagnosis of paresthesias and radiculopathy, as well as lumbar sprain and meniscal tear. Period. He underwent surgery on both knees in May of 2023. Pretty recently had a lumbar spine injection with improvement. Pretty is under the care of Dr. Disabella and Cooper Pain Management. For this period, he underwent a nerve block. Pretty admits that in 2012, he was diagnosed with spinal stenosis and neuroforaminal stenosis. He was treated with therapy and lumbar injections. This was after a fall at work. Period. New paragraph. As per the record supplied, his claim petition alleges he was assaulted by a combative patient in the back of the ambulance, causing, quote, aggravation and exacerbation of low back and type 2 diabetes due to authorized glucocorticosteroid injection, period. End quote. Treatment records show he was attended to by EMS personnel on 10-1-22, period. His significant other stated he had a seizure and has a history of same, period. He has a history of post-seizure activity involving being combative and uncooperative while being extremely disoriented. Period. This has happened in previous episodes, and it seems that was happening during this encounter. Period. When BLS arrived on the scene and made contact to the patient at the front door of the residence, he was yelling and moving abruptly and unpredictably around the living room while being consoled by his significant other. The patient simultaneously exited the residence and began walking quickly towards the ambulance. Period. He was evaluated and taken to the emergency room. Period. The EMS listed several notations of him being uncooperative, period. At 4:03, he began to exit the residence and walk towards the ambulance. Period. Once he went to the patient compartment, he was unable to follow commands to sit on the stretcher. Period. He began flailing himself around the ambulance. Period. Measures were taken to de-escalate and guide the patient to the safety of the stretcher with no success. Period. Further assistance was requested from police and ALS for his altered mental status. Period. At 4:10, he was at times throwing himself against the wall compartments, floor, and striking his head on the ambulance ceiling while aimlessly swinging, pushing, and kicking at providers. Period. Police arrived on the scene and intervened. Period. They made attempts to de-escalate before trying to detain the patient for safety with no success before EMT Taylor sustained an injury provoked by the patient. Mr. Taylor was now unable to assist, as he was injured lying on the ambulance floor / stretcher, while EMT Heimer, H-Y-M-E-R, assisted with police to help prevent injury of the patient and caring for EMT Taylor. The incident escalated as the patient became increasingly agitated, and at some point the struggle with the police navigated to the outside of the ambulance. Struggling continued, as did violent and aggressive behaviors. ALS arrived on the scene and assumed his care. New paragraph. Mr. Taylor was seen at Cooper Hospital on 10-1-22. He had a CAT scan of his head that was compared to a CT of 8-17-21. It showed no acute intracranial abnormality. There was chronic microvascular ischemic white matter disease. Cervical CAT scan showed spondylosis resulting in multi-level spinal stenosis and neuroforaminal stenosis. There was no evidence of an acute fracture or malalignment of the cervical spine. He did give a history to Dr. Echeverria, E-C-H-E-V-E-R-R-I-A, - Rosario, R-O-S-A-R-I-O, that he was an EMT, and while working that morning, the patient and his team had a combative patient who was attempting to get in and out of the ambulance. In an attempt to control the patient, Mr. Taylor got stuck between the stretcher and ambulance door, pinning him in this position for approximately 5 minutes. He was complaining of severe low back pain along with a tingling, numb sensation in his right foot. He denies hitting his head, having or chest pain, shortness of breath, nausea, or vomiting. He had received epidurals from pain management for chronic back pain, although he had not undergone any back surgeries. He had an extensive history remarkable for back pain, comma concussion, comma diabetes mellitus, comma diabetic ketoacidosis, comma DVT of upper extremity, comma hemorrhoid status post resection, comma benign essential hypertension, comma the DKA was steroid induced, comma status post resection of hemorrhoids, comma lumbar spondylosis, comma occlusion of cerebral arteries with possible TIA in 2008, comma prostate cancer treated with resection, comma reflux, comma status post PICC central line placement removed, comma sleep apnea for which he was taking CPAP and compliant. He also had a transient ischemic attack in 2008, although the patient stated this was never confirmed. He had undergone lumbar radio frequency ablations in June and August of 2021. He also had numerous interval non-orthopedic procedures performed. Upon exam, he had significant midline tenders to the lumbar spine, but no skin changes present and no appreciable step-offs. There were no contusions, abrasions, or wounds. He was awake and appropriate in significant pain. He was neurologically intact. He did not have imaging of the chest, comma, pelvis, comma, thoracic spine, comma, lumbar spine, comma, or extremities. casting of the head was negative for intracranial hemorrhage. Paired casting of the chest was negative for intrathoracic injury. Paired casting of the abdomen or pelvis was negative for internal injuries or hemorrhage. Paired CTA of the head and neck was not imaged, nor was CTA of the chest. Period. His active problem list included numerous internal medicine conditions, including type 2 diabetes mellitus without complication, with long-term use of insulin on 3/13/18, comma, lumbar radicular pain on 6/29/17, comma, myofascial pain and neurofibromatous stenosis of the lumbar spine on 8/7/14, comma, compression of lumbar nerve root on 12/6/14, period. New paragraph, he had a physiatric consultation by Dr. Bodofsky, B-O-D-O-F-S-K-Y, on 10/2/22, period. MRI on the lumbar spine showed degenerative joint disease and disc disease that was unchanged from before, period. His pain was improved with pain medication, period. He has a lot of spasm, period. He was walking in the room. Functionally, he is independent with ADLs and ambulance independently prior to admission, period. He did have a lumbar MRI on 10/1/22, compared to a study of 8/5/21 that showed no significant interval change, period. Insert, the rest is marked, period. On 10/6/22, he had a behavioral medicine progress note, period. He was seen for an individual psychotherapy session for 60 minutes, period. He was seen by a counselor, as well as psychologist Dr. Velez, V-E-L-E-Z, period. She noted he had previously had concerns of PTSD, period. This was diagnosed on 9/16/21. Period. Amongst his distressing, scratch that, amongst his symptoms and behaviors, he noted irritability, comma, hypervigilance, comma, exaggerated startle response, comma, problems with concentration and sleep, etc. Period. He also had depressive symptoms, period. He was thought to possibly need further counseling, period. He was on the trauma floor and had a progress note written on 10/6/22. Pretty had continued pain and difficulty coping with being assaulted while at work, period. They had increased his gabapentin and changed Flexeril to Valium, as he reported no relief from Flexeril, period. He had no acute issues reported overnight by nursing. Period. The plan was for a lumbar epidural steroid injection with pain management today, period. He was seen again by physiatry on 10/6/22, period. he was slowly improving. They would consider discontinuing Robaxin and adding baclofen to his medication regimen. The discharge plan was for him to go home. He was discharged from the hospital on 10-7-22. The discharge summary noted he underwent epidural injections on 10-6-22 and progressed and was deemed medically stable for discharge on 10-7-22. The admitting physician was Dr. Wang, W-A-N-G, and the discharge physician was Dr. C-H-O-V-A-N-E-S. Admission diagnosis was back pain. Discharge diagnoses were back pain as well. He was going to follow up with neurosurgery as needed. The paragraph. I'm going to stop here and dictate the rest of this in a second session, because it's getting too long even for me.